Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB, with your updates, we go 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM, Channel 206 app as well. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose. And it's our pleasure now to be joined in studio by the Dungies. Tony Dungy, his wife Lauren. They've got two children's books that are coming out as well. We'll get into those. And guys, coach, you know, this time of year, it's August. I'm sure the itch is there. No, football's back.
No itch to get back, but I am excited about the upcoming season. Lauren and I live in Tampa, so a lot of buzz about the Buccaneers. They feel like they're going to be better. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles on opening night on NBC, so it is that time of year to get excited.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And Lauren, I got to ask you, all the years that coach has coached, it's got to be nice not to pass, you know, a couple of years. He's home, right?
Well, he's home a little more
often.
A little TV gig
he has. Yeah. But he's home more, right? I mean, because as someone who's married to a coach, who was married so many years, I'm sure it's not as easy and glamorous as a life as maybe some people think.
No, it's not. So it's great to have him around the house more often.
Nice. Good.
You know, when I mentioned the itch, I know you've been out of the coaching realm for a while here, Tony, but how long did it, when you decided to call her career as a coach, how long did it get out of the mindset? Taz and I were talking about yesterday in terms of guys like, you know, Dez Bryant and guys that are trying to get back into the NFL, and this time of year rolls around, they think about, you know, whether it be the fresh cut grass,
yeah.
They think about the old two-a-days and everything like that. How long did it take you to get out of that mindset once you stepped aside from coaching?
It really wasn't hard for me because I coached 28 years and played three. So 31 years in the NFL, I was ready to move to something else. But someone like Dez, where you're still feeling it, you want to be involved, then it's really, really tough. I remember my first year I didn't play. That was tough. That was difficult.
Yeah. Are you surprised Dez doesn't have a job?
He'll get one, and he probably had opportunities to go places, but he's looking for the right spot where he can fit in at a team that can win and put all that together with the salary cap. But he'll be somewhere before the regular season starts.
Coach, do you think? Because I've been saying out here that I feel like, and there's been some noise that maybe he goes to the Browns, as you've heard, I'm sure. You think that could be a good connection there?
It could be, and I'm sure he's looking at it, well, how long until the Browns start winning? I don't want to be at a place where, you know, I play three more years, and then when I'm done, they start winning. But I think that could be a good spot for him.
When you mentioned it, you know, you guys are still down in Tampa, the Buccaneers, high expectations for them. Curious, and there's a lot of negative stories that have been surrounding their quarterback, Jameis Winston. What do you think the issue is with Jameis? It's not talent, and certainly we saw it at Florida State. You've seen him flash with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's had off-the-field issues. What do you think the biggest issue with Jameis Winston is, Coach?
He's got talent. He loves to play the game. When he's on the field, he's on. But he's got to mature, and he's got to make better decisions when he's away from the field. And that would have been my concern drafting him. It's not during the season. It's not, you know, 9 to 5 during the week when you're in the building. He's the first one there, one of the last ones to leave. But in the off season, when you're on your own, he's got to make better decisions.
Yeah, and I guess in this day and age, if you're coaching, it's a little bit different, right, because of social media and how it's just blown up, right, in a situation like that, or like the whole Uber thing, you know, like stuff like that.
All those things went on in the past. Everybody didn't know it. Maybe the people in your city, maybe the people in your building, but the whole country didn't know it. And now that's what we have.
Yeah, because of social media, right? I'm sure that part you're kind of happy you're not coaching, right? To deal with that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's but when do you think he will mature? You know, that would be my he comes out of Florida State. Certainly, you said, all right, once he goes to the NFL, he's going to grow up and mature. He gets that opportunity in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one overall pick. When do you think that – I know everyone matures at a different age. I mean, you know, I've got – Taz has got a son in college. I've got three young boys at home. You guys say everyone matures at different ages. But when do you think Winston's going to get it, Coach?
Well, Lauren and I have 10 kids, and they're
God bless you.
Yeah, they're all different.
He has.
Yeah. Everyone is different. Holy cow. And they all have different personalities. And I can remember when I was a coach and we'd get scouting reports before the draft and our scouts would go over it. And, you know, this guy hasn't quite gotten it yet. The light hasn't turned on. But when it does, he's going to be great. And I always said, you know, don't give me those guys when it does. Give me the guys who the light has come on, because life is too short as a coach. You've got to win. You've got to do it. I'm all for it. Jameis pulling for him. We'll talk to him, that type of thing. But it's up to him. He's got to understand, hey, if I'm the leader of this team, I have to do it day in and day out.
Have you talked to him?
I have talked to him a couple of times, yeah. Derek Brooks, I know, has talked to him. Derek lives in Tampa as well, has counseled him quite a bit. He understands. He knows the right things to do. He's just got to do it.
Well, speaking of young quarterbacks, I'm just curious, out of all these young cats that are out there right now that we're about to see play, from Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker, all these guys, tell me, break it down. Which one or two do you think has that it factor to get to that real high level at the highest level?
It's hard to say who has it, and the bigger question is who's going to be around them. Mm. You know, you look at the situation I'm familiar with, Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, and everybody says, well, now looking back, well, Manning had this, and this. But Peyton Manning also had Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, yeah. Reggie Wayne, Marvin yeah. Harrison, Dallas Clark. We put the right pieces around him. Mm. And, yes, he was great. He worked at it. He had everything inside to make it happen. But we built a team that gave him weapons. And that's what has to happen for these young guys.
Mm. When you first went to Indianapolis with Peyton there, already, you know, already there, Coach, and out of that Tampa situation, were you as – what was your initial impression? Everything you heard about Peyton Manning, what was your initial impression when you first sat down with Peyton Manning?
I had heard the, you know, all the accolades and everybody talking about him. And Lauren and I had actually met him. We were at a football banquet. He was the college player of the year, and we got to ride over in the limo with him. So you knew he was high-quality yeah. person. So I was excited about that. Then when I sat down with him, one of the first things he said, hey, I need to be coached. I want to be better. I want to be your leader. Tell me what I need to do. So I was really happy from that first day that we got somebody who was going to work hard and wanted to be the leader.
They did pretty good.
And was pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good. You guys all did pretty good. Yeah. You guys did pretty good, for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting because like a lot of these young guys, like you said, and having those resources around them, right? That's the key, right?
But he had the drive, too, and he worked at it. You know, you talk about Jameis doing the right thing day in mm-hmm. and day out. I mean, that's what Peyton had. He was so focused. He wanted to be the best. He wanted to lead that team. He was determined not only the days he was in the office, but every day to get better.
You see that difference because of, you know, his dad Archie and his brother, you know, like being that second generation. I'm sure you've coached other guys in other positions over the years.
Yeah. Well, he knew what it took.
That's
yes,
what I
his,
mean.
His
yeah,
dad so, definitely yeah. instilled in him, hey, you want to be great, here's what it takes.
Yeah. Coach, you know, we were getting into a conversation earlier in the week, I think it was on Monday, and talking about Aaron Rodgers calling out his teammates a little bit or his receivers at practice. Now, as a coach, we've seen coaches do it to an extent. We've heard Parcells talk about it. You have to play team psychiatrist sometimes. There are certain things that motivate certain guys. And we've seen other sports guys call out their teammates. What was your take? Were you bothered by the fact, or do you have an issue with Aaron Rodgers calling out his receivers out of a practice?
I don't have a problem with that at all. We always talked about doing it. Nothing wrong with calling out guys, but keep it in-house. Right. We didn't call out guys in the media.
That's what
to
I'm
other
saying.
People.
Right.
Yeah. Now, hey, in the locker room, in the meeting room, on the field, yes, hey, you got to get the job done.
The fact that he did it to the media was...
Yeah. That would concern me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm from the wrestling business. I was a wrestler for a lot of years. And we have, even though sports entertainment, same thing. you don't go public if you have a problem with a guy, the way he worked or whatever. Yep. So it's kind of what I felt on that. I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But, I mean, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, but I think you got to be careful you don't lose the locker room as the hood ornament of the team.
Yes.
And that's what he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're talking here to Tony Dungy, his wife Lauren Dungy, in studio. They've got two books coming out, right? Two children's books coming out. Lauren, talk to us a little bit about what's coming out later on this month. Is that correct?
No,
actually, the books are out.
The books are out right now. Okay.
Yeah, the books are out. We have two books. Maria Finds Courage and Austin Plays Fair are two new children's books. Tony and I have co-authored them. They are sports-related books for kids ages kindergarten to fourth grade and full with good life lessons and good stories that we find entertaining, and the kids will relate to them.
That's awesome. I mean, that's great. I mean, you know, whatever inspired you guys to do that, it sounds like a great way to connect, right, to kids and for them to gravitate to something like that.
Well, I mean, when you sit down and you're working on it to connect with kids and get the message across, Lauren, what exactly in terms of, and obviously every book has a message, a theme, and you ran through the two titles. What exactly, what's the main goal, the end goal of in terms of the life lessons you want to get across?
We want kids to understand that they can participate in sports or anything, but play with integrity, operate with truthfulness and honesty, and play fairly. Mm. And many times kids are just thrown into a sport, and they really don't have the tools to, you know, work through it. And when they run up against a problem or a challenge, they don't know what to do.
Sure.
So it also helps to have good coaches and mentors to walk alongside them and encourage them and show them what to do.
So you guys said you have 10 kids.
We do.
Now, I have one. And he's 19, college athlete, and I feel like my wife would attest. It feels like he's 10 kids. But anyway, so being that you have 10 kids, you have just a plethora of experience that to put into books.
Absolutely.
Into these books.
We've drawn on the experiences from our own kids. They give us a lot of writing material just in their day-to-day interactions. You're right.
Are they all, I should say, I'm sure they're not all athletes, all 10 kids. I
mean, they like to think they are. We have seven kids at home, and they keep us busy every day with sports. They think that they need to participate in every sport that's being played.
That's cool.
But they're pretty good.
What's age, like youngest, oldest?
Oh, my goodness. We have age 2 is the youngest, and we go all the way to adulthood. So,
wow.
So seven are living at home.
Man, I tell you, I'm very impressed.
I give you credit. I mean, I give you credit.
Well,
I really
thank
do.
You.
Moose has three little ones.
I got three boys. I go home, it's like Lord of the Flies.
It is. You know how it is.
I've called his house during dinner time. It's like, dude, I'll talk to you later. It's like a wuzzle.
I'm like, Jackson Duck, I got to go.
Crazy.
I think it's interesting. You have you go to TeamDungy.com right now, right? So parents can sign up. If you go to TeamDungy.com, what can they get?
We have a promotion going on, and that's correct. If they go to TeamDungy.com, it's an opportunity for your child to be a character in the next book that we write.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think what kid would not want to be featured as a
that's
character
smart
story.
To pull that interactiveness in there. You know, I mean, that's cool because it make them feel like they're, you know, put
absolutely
their kid on that grand stage. That's pretty cool.
Two new titles, Austin Plays Fair and Maria Finds Courage, two new books out. How many books have come out in the series so far?
These are the first two books in this series.
How many books have you worked on in the past?
We've written 10 other children's books together.
10 other children's
collaborated
books?
Collaborated on, yes.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
What's the biggest experience in terms of connecting and getting the message across? You write a column, you write a book, an autobiography, whatever it might be. But the biggest goal is sitting down to write your first children's book, because that's an art form. That's a
It's harder than you think, because you only have 32 pages in a children's book. And you've got to use certain vocabulary. You're directing it at your target audience. But it's been fun. And Lauren and I take the books. We go every Tuesday to different elementary schools in Tampa, read the books, kind of talk to them, and interact with the kids and get them to think about the message and that. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's very cool that you guys are doing that. I mean, it's Moose, your kids are at that age that they should be.
All right.
Well, listen, I'm going
to
get to these.
Go to the website.
That's exactly right. I'm going right after the show.
TeamDungy.com. Dad of the year.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Your kids into children's
that's exactly
book
right. Yeah. I'm going to get them in. My son Jackson, he's five. He loves reading. We read to him every night. Yes, yeah, absolutely right. We have Tony Dungy, Lauren Dungy in studio. We have another 15 minutes with them. Two books out, and they are entitled Maria Finds Courage, Austin Plays Fair. Wherever books are sold, hop online, get them, and we'll talk a little football. Continue to talk about the two books as well as we roll right along. Taz and the Moose with you on Action Pack Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. We've got Tony and his lovely wife, Lauren Dungy, in studio. Two new children's books are out. TeamDungy.com, check it out. Parents can sign up their children to be a character in the next book in the series, Austin Plays Fair, Maria Finds Courage. And I got two copies for my kids.
Yeah.
Right. Look at that.
There you go. Thank you, guys. I'm excited.
You're welcome.
There you go. Thank you very much. We've talked a little bit, and certainly about, you know, raising kids, the message you want to get across. I mean, Taz and I talk about it. His son's now in college. Yeah, I've got three young boys at home. But in terms of – it's so difficult. I mean, in terms of sending the right message, I'm sure as a, you know, a coach and a coach's wife, when you look at it, you're there, you're involved and everything. But, you know, the most important thing I often talk about with my kids is – it doesn't necessarily mean they have to be an athlete to be at this, and you want them to take school seriously and educate themselves, but you also want them to be good people, good human beings. That's really at the base of it, and I think when you have books like you guys put out, I think that sends that correct message, correct?
Absolutely. That's what we wanted to get across to our readers, that there is a way to carry yourself, and oftentimes we forget about, you know, showing our kids, modeling good behavior. We're so busy. Life is busy. And we don't take the time to show them and to talk about appropriate behavior and just how to be a good person and to have integrity, to have character in whatever you do. And so that was one of the goals that we had in writing the stories. We wanted to just remind kids, whether it's playing, interacting with friends and doing schoolwork, there is a way to be and to act. And many times we're just so busy that we don't take that time to help our kids. And in our stories, we hope that not only will the kids read, but the adults will read to the kids so you can have discussions, have conversation about those challenges.
And I'm sure in your books, because of sport, right? Because sports will bring discipline, yeah.
Yes.
bring character, and you kind of intertwine that. And that's, I know as a dad of a college athlete who was an athlete since he was a little kid, you know, I saw that in the right coaching, always made sure when he was little that he was around the right coaching, and his character, knock on wood, is great. So, you know, and sports helps that. And so it's great to see you guys getting to the grassroots of that.
And there are lessons that you can get being on a sports team. Sacrifice, being a good teammate, discipline, bouncing back from disappointment. What happens when you lose a game or you strike out with the bases loaded? You know, a lot of life lessons, and that's what we hope. And the other thing, and you mentioned it with your young boys, getting boys to read, you know,
yes.
is sometimes tough. Right. So that was kind of the thought behind the sports theme, too. Boys will get interested. Maybe they'll read it because it's sports and then get that life lesson that's kind of hidden away in there.
And, Coach, I think you hit on it, too. I mean, you know, it's not just about, you know, back in the day when we were, like, younger, you know, he's a jock or she's a jock.
Right.
It's not like that. No, you know, corporations in big cities like here in New York or Chicago or Dallas or L.A., whatever, a lot of them are hiring athletes, male and female
That's
athletes,
right.
because they have that work ethic,
yes.
that teamwork.
Yep.
They know how to lose. They know how to win. Those are vital,
Absolutely.
Vital
They know how to work together
That's right.
with the group.
Teamwork.
And it starts early. You know, it's not something that you learn in high school or college. It starts very early. And that we're hoping
that's what the books are doing.
The books will show you and just, you know, walk alongside you as you deal with those issues.
Well, Moose, maybe you read these books, you'll be a better teammate to me.
Oh, no.
Maybe I should pass them along to you, Taz.
Maybe you should read them to me.
Well, there are lessons in there for adults as well.
I need them.
Coach, when you look at today's football, modern football, and the rule changes and everything we've seen, and you mentioned, you know, as a player, as a coach in the NFL for 31 years, do you like where the game is going?
I really do. We have to try to make it safer, no question about that. And it has been. I look back at when I came in the league and, you know, what we did in terms of safety, it's light years ahead of that. Now, the players are bigger and stronger and faster. The collisions are bigger. I get all that. But we have to keep that going to make the game safer, to keep it going.
Do you think that, you know, to me, Coach, what's been happening is it's like for the past several years, collegiately, high school, even high school, but definitely the NFL, it's almost like the technology, and as great as they're doing with the gear, you know, the technology can't keep up with the evolution of the athlete. I know in my son, I watch how he trains and things he does with his train. It's so different than when I trained. It's like just light years ahead, and these guys are just bigger, faster, faster.
But the technology is coming.
You think
and
so, yeah.
It is. And my day, nobody wore mouthpieces.
Right, right.
I mean, and that was the first thing. My trainer, when I coached, hey, we got to get all these guys to wear their mouthpieces, wear it in practice. Yeah. It can prevent concussions, can help out, all of those things. The helmets. We've got helmets now. Guys won't wear them because they don't look the same or that it's not what they're used to. So we've got to get that geared into the players that, there is stuff out there that can help and improve.
Got to make it look swagged out. That's
got
to have the swag.
Yes.
Laura, I want to ask you as a coach's wife. When Tony finally won the Super Bowl as a head coach in Indianapolis, we heard what Tony had to say at the time, and you know the disappointment being able to bounce back after all the successful regular seasons, disappointment in the postseason in Tampa, finally to win in Indianapolis. How did that feel for you? Witnessing that, living through that, and going through all that, after all the success, finally to win that Vince Lombardi trophy and seeing your husband be able to be the head coach of a team that won it.
It was indeed thrilling. I mean, it was a long time coming, a lot of patience, and we knew that it would happen. It's just a matter of, you know, the team coming together and believing Tony's philosophy of coaching had great values and great ideas, and you know, you have to put it together. It's like raising a family. You know what you want to do, but it takes time for everything to knit together. So it was thrilling to, you know, walk alongside him for many, many years and see it, you know, progressing and then to have that happen. I mean, I just can't even describe how it felt at that moment to be on the stage and to witness that and to be a part of that.
Well, I don't, you know, I, listen, as a former athlete, I got to tip my cap to you, man, because, you know, all the children you have, and you seem like you're a great mom. I'm assuming
Thank
you,
you
are. You definitely seem it. And to be married to someone who was a pro athlete and a pro coach for as long as this man was at the level, you know, a lot of times, you know, the wife at home doesn't get the credit.
So no, that's
I just
true.
Want to
give
you
we're
that
behind
credit.
The scenes, but we're his biggest cheerleader.
Yeah,
and so it was a family celebration.
That's awesome.
And they were involved every step of the way.
Right.
I mean, our wives were such a big
that's
part
cool.
of it, and they did a lot in community service, but a lot with the team too.
Yeah.
And being there in Miami, having everybody, and that's one of my great memories when we won the game, and you know our families jumping over
That's
the wall
cool, yeah.
and getting down on the field
That's
and
great.
Everybody was celebrating with their kids and their wives, and it was like, we did it. Yeah, we did
it. Was it a big weight off the shoulders, Coach?
It was more of a
annoyance?
Satisfaction. No. It was great. I mean, realizing, hey, we brought this to Indiana. You know, it wasn't – the Baltimore Colts had a lot of history, and they'd won Super Bowls, but Indianapolis had never had that championship, and knowing we were going to go back – we had a parade the next day. We were late because of the rain and everything, the weather in Miami. It's 5 degrees in Indy, and we're thinking, who's going to be there? The streets were packed.
Oh,
the stadium
God.
Was packed. It was just a great feeling to kind of celebrate, hey, we did this together.
You just seem – you're such an even – I've watched enough on TV over the years, coaching, and now your work, your great work you do on NBC. you just seem so chill all the time. Like, yeah. What's the deal, Lauren?
How did this guy inspire
these great athletes? I mean, it's amazing. I don't think you've ever gotten pissed off on the sideline, have you?
There've been a few times.
But no, really, that was one of the things. I remember when I was interviewing as an assistant coach, trying to get that head job, I was talking to an owner, and he said the same thing. He said, I hear you never get mad, you don't use profanity, you're a Christian. How are you going to get these guys to play? And I said, well, hey, I'm going to develop that relationship, show them I love them, just like my dad did with me, their respect, and we're going to be in it together. And the guy said, that'll never work in the NFL.
Right, yeah.
He didn't hire me. So, but that was the way I was. So I couldn't say.
Good for you, man. You've done great. Awesome.
No doubt. No
awesome.
Question
Both
about it. TeamDungy.com. Check it out. Parents can sign up for their children to be a character in the next book in the series. Two books are out. Maria Finds Courage and Austin Plays Fair. Tony and Lauren Dungy. Guys, thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly enjoyed
it. Thank you very much.
Enjoy the football season
you.
And continued success. All
thanks.
Right.
Good
you
luck
got
with the books, guys.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
So much.
Yeah,
thank you. It was awesome.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little NFL as we roll right along here on this Thursday morning. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Great to have Tony and Lauren Dungy in studio. Two new books. We ran through those.
Yes.
Austin Plays Fair and Maria Finds Courage. So check out TeamDungy.com. Always great talking to talk a little football with Tony and talking a little bit about parenting and this is their now 10 children's books that they put out.
Well, they have 10 kids.
No, 10 children's books.
They
as
have
well.
10 books too. Yes. Oh, yes, yes, they do. I'm still shocked that they had 10 kids. They both look amazing.
Yeah, 10
they
children.
Have 10 children.
Correct.
And I have to say, like, who better to have that kind of experience and credibility that they have? They have the chops to put out children books because they know how to be parents. And it's true. Sports is a great thing, I feel, for boys and girls to, to grow and learn discipline and different work ethic things. I really believe that that's a good thing. It doesn't have to be, but I do think that's important.
For sure. Go to TeamDungy.com and check out the new promotion, which allows parents can sign up their children to be a character in the next book in the series.
Speaking of characters, look who's here.
Yeah, AB is in the house. Take
hey
it away.
Hey, guys. Your report is brought to you
how's
by
that
Geico.
Yeah.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The first group about to tee off in the 100th PGA Championship. Ricky Fowler, the first big name out at 8:39 Eastern. Phil Mickelson and Jason Day, roughly 20 minutes later. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas playing together at 9:23. Some thought Tiger looked tired last weekend, fading during the weekend at the Bridgestone.
You know, I'm 42 now. And I've had 4 back surgeries, so it's things are going to be different from day to day, and it's just about managing it.
Dustin Johnson, U.S. Open champ Brooks Koepka, and Sergio Garcia among those waiting until the afternoon to attack Bellerive near St. Louis. You can now mark your calendar with some of LeBron's national TV appearances during the coming season. He makes his Laker debut on Thursday, October 18th at Portland. And the Lake Show visits Golden State on Christmas night. We believe, although not confirmed yet, that LeBron's return to Cleveland is November 21st. Among the rule changes the NCAA announced yesterday, players invited to the NBA draft combine that then go undrafted can return to school, assuming the NBA approves. Atlanta Braves rookie Ronald Acuna Jr. had a pretty good game last night in D.C., a 2-run homer, and this defense.
He sets up over the right shoulder of Flowers, swinging a long fly to center by Matt Adams. Acuna going all the way back to the warning track at the fence, leaping, and he made a great catch, I believe. He did.
Oh, he did, Jim Powell on Braves Radio. Atlanta winning in Washington 8-3. They are a half game behind the Phillies now in the NL East. Philly losing in Arizona yesterday afternoon. The Brewers dumped the Padres 8-4 and the Cardinals 7-1 winners in Miami. The A's got by the Dodgers 3-2. The Royals blanked the Cubs 9-0. The Yankees swept the White Sox 7-3. The Red Sox 10. The Blue Jays 5. That's six straight wins for Boston. And Cleveland disappointed Minnesota 5-2. Francisco Lindor, a three-run homer, bottom nine. And 12 games tonight as the NFL preseason truly kicks off. That schedule includes Baker Mayfield and the Browns visiting the Giants. The Battle of Pennsylvania as the Eagles host the Steelers. And Andrew Luck's return Indy in Seattle.
Are we in? Taz. Are we in here? Are we in? Are we all in, boys? Are we all in for a little preseason action tonight? I mean we're dialed in, right? Are we in?
I'm going to watch it.
Are we preseason
stretch.
Guys? I am. I love the preseason football.
You would. Do you have a preseason NFL team?
Yeah, the Rams.
Okay.
I just made that up. Yeah, no, I like the preseason.
Yeah.
Most, you don't really seem like you're really
no,
indifferent.
Not really.
You really don't really give a rap.
Very
ass,
indifferent.
That's what it seems like.
As long as guys get through it healthy.
Well, that's true, but I mean, it's football.
Third preseason game you get through into.
Football, but it's back. I love football. You kidding me? It's back.
It is back.
Why
right.
are we not more excited? Like, what is going on here? It's preseason football. I love football.
Yeah, it's just the summer's going to come to an end. That sucks.
Oh, God, Moose, you're bringing me down here. This is
no,
a big
that sucks.
Deal.
Seriously,
oh,
Debbie.
Why?
I don't care
if the summer's coming to an end. That's when I do my best work.
Oh, yeah, you do.
You kidding me? No,
what
I don't
do you
care.
Mean, when it's 5 degrees outside
you're
in the winter.
You're a fall guy?
Sit outside, I smoke a flying pig.
When it's 5 degrees outside, don't complain then.
I sit outside
man,
and I smoke
I love,
a
flying I love winter.
I sit on the porch then, not by the pool because I'll freeze. And on, they smoke a flying pig.
Stop.
It's a little.
Anyone in San Diego?
Stop. I love it.
Come on.
I love the
summer's,
cold.
Summer's by far better.
Summer's overrated.
Time of year? No, it's not.
I think the fall might be the best season.
The
now.
Fall,
early
is beautiful.
Fall.
I love the fall foliage. Mm-hmm. I love looking at the trees. Yeah, I love that.
May and September are the best months in New York, at least in my vantage point. I can do without the 100 degree heat index.
I think October 4th to October 10th is probably the best
that's
time
your
in
peak.
New York.
Mm.
That's really it.
No,
yeah.
You're
just
right.
That little short time there.
That's
really
that's
nice.
That's right.
That's about it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying we live in Coronado right outside of San Diego, which is epic.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful for those folks out there in California. I envy you.
It's great football's back. It just sucks
awesome.
That summer's going to be over.
Yeah. I don't sweat the whole thing about summer being over. I really don't care. I mean, I'm not – when I was a little kid, I did. I'm a grown-ass man. I don't sweat that stuff.
Sure.
I'm just being honest with you. You're telling me I have to care that the summer's over.
No,
I
you
don't
have
care.
To care. I'm
I
telling
don't
you
care.
What I care.
I don't care. You can care what you want.
Go enjoy watching fourth quarter preseason football tonight. Have yourself, put the blanket on, smoke a cigar, drink until you're oblivion,
bro,
and have yourself a good night.
I don't know if I'll make it to the fourth quarter with some of these
why
games.
Why not?
No,
it's football.
I do, but I bail
get
out
into
usually.
It. Why not?
not
football's
preseason.
Back. Get excited.
I know, but not the whole game.
Why not?
Kick off. I get
it's
into
football.
It.
Football.
Don't say nothing about the national anthem.
It's
the kick
tremendous.
Off I watch, and then I watch the
I love watching guys that have no shot to be on the team in the fourth quarter.
No. Come on.
It's
now.
True.
You're watching guys fight for positions and fight
to get
jobs.
You're watching terrible product.
It's terrible product compared to what you're used to.
No, the NFL product, you make an argument, has regressed over the last 3 or 4 years to begin with.
Just had Tony Dungy. He said it's doing great.
He said he is. He said he likes where the direction is.
I agree with him. You don't agree with him?
I don't think the product has been particularly good. No.
It's football.
He's talking about the fact of player safety. You listen to what Tony Dungy's
saying. Hey, B, where are you going?
He's talking about player safety and the rule changes in terms of taking care of players. He likes that very fact.
Maybe you don't want your update, maybe so you take a headset.
He's got nothing else to say.
I'm done.
Yeah.
It's a different time. Usually there's a commercial break in here somewhere.
Oh, really?
I'm Andrew Bogish.
Yeah, we did the commercial already.
Right.
Thanks for listening and paying attention.
We'll handle the nuts
I know
and
it's,
bolts of the show.
I know it's not coming. That's why I was going to sneak out in the middle of the segment.
Nice.
Yeah. As he takes his headset off.
Don't need me anymore.
They just slam on the table.
Nice.
Just like, all right. We'll see you later, AB. Thanks for coming. We'll see you down the road. Jeez. I just want everybody to get excited about football. No, and why are we not happy in here? We all should be happy.
We're happy.
Football's back.
Who's not happy?
Oh, Pete, the board operator looks miserable. Mike, the
I'm
producer,
happy.
Looks angry as always. He's always angry. Well, and Moose, I never know what side of the fence you're on.
No, we're more than 90 minutes through the show. Believe me, they're happy.
Oh, thrilled.
To me, I wish we had 4 hours out here. I don't want to speak to One Nation for 4 hours. I want to do a four-hour block. I'll do a five-hour block. That's what I want to do.
I can set you up in the room next door.
Yeah, you can
from
just
9 to
go
10.
Talk for a
You don't worry
more
about
hours.
That, Mike. You're busy. Some of us have to work extra. I'm good. I work enough. I work hard. I work when I'm not here, I'm working. I'm always working. You know that, Moose.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Yes. Oh, by the way, real quick, before we go to break, I should say, I got a chance to catch up to the Hard Knocks, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Did you watch it yet or not yet?
I did not.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's very good. I liked it. I liked the first episode. I did. I mean, there's definitely some issues there on that team again, but I think they're going to be okay. Hugh Jackson loves the camera. That's what I'm going to tell you. This guy is a camera guy. He loves being on camera. Landry had some great spots in this thing. He stood out for sure. It looks good. This is a good one. I like this one. I think you'll like it. We'll just check it out when you get a chance.
I will when I get a chance. I've kind of, as we mentioned before, the Browns got announced as a team. Hard Knocks, yeah, doesn't really do it for me like it once did because of the very fact of now you get so much NFL. You get the sideline stuff. You get the NFL film stuff. You get the. It used to be a little bit different. Showtime did a piece on the Arizona Cardinals. What was that, a year or two ago as well? So
it's not as exclusive, you're saying. It doesn't feel as behind the curtain as
no,
much.
No, not as much.
I get
not
you.
As much as it once did. Well, and I'm sure the personalities will make it. And I saw the Landry speech. Oof. I think it played better if you read it than actually him delivering it. But, I mean, it is.
Hold on. Let me discuss that real quick. I disagree with you. If you watch it, it's better than if you read it. Because with all the cursing in it and his passion in it, not that you have to curse.
Yeah, no,
passion.
I watched it. I saw it.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
You said you read it. I didn't.
No, I read it and I saw it. I think it reads better than.
Oh, right. I thought it.
I think it got a little overplayed on social media.
Oh, it definitely did for sure. But he really, you know, he was definitely passionate about it. But about you know playing hurt or playing injured, the difference, you know, because there is a difference. But and how he wants to change the way it is there, and that's cool. They need that kind of leadership. And you saw that leadership, and you saw, I thought, the difference between Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, the difference between a guy who's a true veteran, a true pro like Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, who's that gunslinger, maverick, rook, who I think is going to have a bright future with the Browns. But, yeah, they got a good thing going on, I think, down there in Cleveland. But as far as the Hard Knocks and about the hunt behind the scenes and all that jazz, I get what you're saying, and it's definitely not as exclusive because of when they first came out with them. I watched all of them. I'm sure you have, too. And there's so much stuff now NFL Films does or whoever, ESPN, whatever. There's so much behind-the-scenes stuff. The thing, though, that I really don't like to kind of covers your point, I don't like, Moose, that a lot of the scenes, especially with the coaches, sometimes feels like they're acting. It's like they're set-up scenes. It's not, I don't know, maybe I've been in TV a long time, so I kind of guess I could tell that it just seems, a couple of these things do seem like it's a work.
Yeah, like it's reality TV.
Correct. Right. They're setting up scenes, you
know? Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
A bad
I also think it's hard for guys to act natural and the cameras are around, even if they might be as innocuous as the NFL. As NFL Films tries and HBO, they try to make it where they're not, in your face and everything like that. So... But I you sense it. You know it. You know when you're being filmed. You know when you're being recorded. You know that. That's where it comes across as a little bit more of an act at times. Not all the time. At times than in other spots. I think it's entertaining. I'm not saying it's not a good product. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't watch or you wouldn't watch it. I think it's gotten a little... The special quality of it at one point in time was there. When the Ravens, after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and they had Tony Siragusa, Ray Lewis, and Shannon Sharp.
That was a
very, very entertaining one. I think the nature of it's been, the special quality of it has been taken away just because you get a lot of it, Taz. You watch it, you watch whether it be NFL films in the regular season, inside the NFL, whatever it might be, you're getting the sideline stuff and everything like that. You're being taken behind, but there's also a case of you look at not everything's out there. They're not drawing up plays. You're not seeing everything. They're playing up certainly. The individuals, and they usually pick four undrafted guys or
couple late round draft choices, guys trying to make the team.
Focus on,
you learn about them, you learn about the quarterback, the coach, and everything. It's an entertaining process.
This was good. It started off pretty cool. I mean, I won't go through the whole thing, obviously, but it started off at the airport where Baker Mayfield shows up, and he's getting picked up by the Browns and in the car, and but he's at the airport, meaning Mayfield, and Nick Chubb is also at the airport, and everybody's jocking Baker Mayfield. They're taking his bags for him. Fans are coming up to him, taking pictures of him. Can you sign this? Can you do me an autograph? Bah, 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 bah. And Nick Chubb, he's waiting for his own bag. He's waiting for his bag to come out of baggage claim. He's got people coming up to him. You play football? Did you play in college? Like, oh, what team you play for? Like that kind of thing. Because the camera was on. Yeah. So it showed the difference between two guys from two pretty big freaking programs.
Right.
One in Oklahoma, one in Georgia. And Nick Chubb's not a bad running back, folks.
No.
And Baker Mayfield is Baker Mayfield. And it shows the difference in that brand awareness for these two guys, how different it was for Mayfield.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it really was. It kind of felt bad for Nick Chubb, but yet I bet you Nick Chubb wouldn't want to trade places with Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't want to trade places with Baker Mayfield. Everything's on him. And they showed the RV, too, by the way. You know, you got an RV, yeah.
Yeah. So you get the sideline, you get the RV, the backstory there, and you get them walking through.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You'll like it, dude. Just watch it.
Yeah. No, I'll flip it on.
Go ahead and watch it, Moose.
I'll flip it on.
Mike, you going to watch it?
What do you work for HBO?
No, I enjoy good programming. Wait, what did Mike say? No.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Goes,
but
no,
I'll look for interesting information if it helps the show in the future.
You're all about the show. I know that's all you care about. Pete the Body.
Kind of.
Okay. Well, sometimes you want to get away from, you want to watch other things.
No, not me. Yeah. I'm all sports all the time. And Big Brother. I watch Big Brother all the time.
I'd rather watch Better Call Saul on my time off.
That's a good one.
Kind of deal.
That is a good one.
Interesting. I watch, the only thing non-sports that I watch is
Shark Week.
I do love Shark Week. I like Wicked Tuna. I also like The Big Hunt. Mm-hmm. That's not even a show. I just made it up. And I watch Big Brother. Okay. Anything with the word big in it, I watch. But Big Brother, I enjoy.
I watch, Game of Thrones.
Oh, you're cool.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I used to watch that in the 80s. The Guy Fieri. Guy.
I think he was in college in the 80s. But
show was like older than dirt.
I think
he's doing great.
1980s, he was like
still doing good. The show
12
yeah,
years old. Yeah,
they're like in their 12th season. Yeah. They're really crushing
episodes.
It.
Yeah,
that might be a flagship show.
Yeah,
that is, I think that is Food Network's flagship show.
That's
I think
great.
It is.
Isn't that great?
So that they let's see. Last week tonight, John Oliver.
What are you talking about?
Bill Maher.
TV shows.
TV shows.
I'm watching preseason football. I'm watching the Giants.
I'm talking about shows I'm watching. I got it. You're watching preseason football. We heard it already. We got it. You're going to get locked in. Enjoy. Let me, lay off the mic for a second.
I'm a little excited.
I understand.
I'll shut it off.
No, you can keep the microphone on. We're going through TV shows we watch.
All right, go for it. Go.
No. Pete, what do you
John
watch?
John Oliver?
John Oliver, last week tonight. Good show.
I watched a little 227, a little Amen.
Oh, there you go. Amen.
Wait a minute.
A little 227.
Yeah, I should be show prepping, watching sports.
We watch sports. It's inherent, but sometimes you have to get away.
My Two Dads. Some classic shows.
My Two Dads.
Seinfeld, I watched.
My Three Sons.
My Brady Bunch.
See the Brady Bunch house just got sold?
Really?
In California.
The one in California?
Yeah.
How much got
it? I don't know what it got, but I saw a headline that it got sold.
I would have bought that just to say I have it. The Brady Bunch. That was a great show.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I don't really watch anything but sports.
Charles in Charge.
Oh, God. You used to watch that?
It was on, it used to be on, it was on like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That show sucked.
I love G.I. Joe. Old G.I. Joe, Transformers, Voltron.
I used to watch The Dukes of Hazzard was my favorite show.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Just the good old boys.
And I don't think that show would play much today, but yeah.
I didn't think that. Oh, God.
Anyway, 2 hours down, hour to play with. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.